It's running right now on the Smithsonian Channel. Multiple times today. It's debuts today. It is a terrific new documentary describing what made Son of Sam one of the most feared and memorable serial killers in American history. I remember this is 40 years ago, but I remember it as if it was yesterday. We were all watching the TV coverage.
This photograph of the man accused of killing 6 and wounding 7 was taken by police this morning. Police transported David Berkowitz from headquarters to Brooklyn Central Booking. After my sources say he confessed to being the 44 killer. After he told them he was a killing machine, ordered by a voice speaking through a neighbor's dog to carry out his bloody outrages against young pretty women. Police discovered in his car the 44 Bulldog revolver and a Thompson submachine gun.
The TV special, The Lost Tapes, Son of Sam, it debuts today on the Smithsonian Channel. We welcome Tom Jennings to speak about it, documentary filmmaker. Tom, good morning, sir. What new information can we learn from watching this documentary on David Berkowitz, better known as Son of Sam?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me. The nature of the show that we do in this Lost Tapes series on Smithsonian is that we have no narrator, we have no interviews. And so we rely on media at the time, television, radio, using images from newspapers, things like that. And so, in a sense, we create almost a time machine, like a motion picture that uses archival footage. And for your listeners and viewers who are going to watch this, and it's also on Sunday at 9, is that you're going to go back and revisit New York City in a way that I don't think any other documentaries really do. And you get a sense of what it was like to live there, what it was like when David Berkowitz was doing his thing, shooting people in parked cars completely arbitrary with a 44 caliber handgun. And you're going to understand a city in fear. And that's the point of how we do these things, is to try and take people back and give them a glimpse and show them a lot of images, let's hear a lot of sounds, a lot of reporting that have really been lost to time.
Tom Jennings, Son of Sam. I take from what you just said that you also talk about how the media really took this thing and ran with it, and the city was scared to death. You think about it, all they were doing was getting their information from newspaper, television, radio. That was it.
That was it, yes. There was no social media at the time. There was no internet at the time. And the media was involved in as far as making sure that people were people knew what was going on, but at the same time, they were criticized for stoking the flames of fear, in a sense. And one of the main characters in that was a guy named Jimmy Breslin, who was a famous columnist for the New York Daily News. And Son of Sam Berkowitz would actually write to him. He would write Breslin letters, and he would, taunt Breslin, in a sense. And so the media, and Breslin in particular, were questioned, aren't you contributing to the problem? And Breslin, typical New York columnist style, says, writing about murder? Well, Shakespeare had no problem writing about murder, comparing himself to Shakespeare. But at the same time, he was saying, this is the type of story that's fascinated people for all time.
Yes, and reason. Here in Chicago, we had those two kids that killed the other kid way back in the 1920s, Leopold and Loeb, and that was covered very salaciously by the press. So that's happened for a long time. We're talking about The Lost Tapes, Son of Sam. You can go to SmithsonianChannel.com to find out where it airs. It's on the Smithsonian Channel, but MSNBC, National Geographic, Discovery, other outlets that certainly pick up on your programming. Tom Jennings, is there new criticism that the cops should have caught this guy earlier?
Well, we talked to a lot of the detectives in gathering the material, even though we didn't do interviews with them. And the city at the time, police officers, detectives, they created this large 300 detective task force called the Omega Force to track this guy down, Berkowitz. And they would say they'd go home at night and their family and friends would just come after them. Like, why haven't you caught this guy? How can we live in a city like New York and with all these resources at our disposal, and you can't catch one guy with a handgun with 300 detectives working the case? And they had said, when Berkowitz was caught, he wasn't even on their radar. He was caught because of a parking ticket they got close to one of the crime scenes, this last shooting. He wasn't on the radar. Nobody figured him out. Even one of the reports that we used when he was caught said neighbors describe Berkowitz as quiet, kind of shy, kept to himself. And then the reporter ends like, how many of your neighbors would you describe as quiet, kept to themselves? You know, you start to realize that as long as this guy kept a completely arbitrary approach, moved around the boroughs, never connecting why he was doing what he was doing, and didn't give any family or friends, you know, the high sign that something was really wrong with him, he planned on continuing on, and the police just got a lucky break. Basically, hard police work gave them a lucky break.
That's the sign of a serial killer, you know, random and for no apparent reason. Leave no trace behind.
Tom, New York, 40 years ago in 76, the mid-70s, man, it was a different city than it has become. It was just kind of a free-for-all down there. And I can understand how people were hysterical about this with everything else that was happening. There was a movie, Escape from New York, I remember, about that same time that described, you know, how dystopian this city had become. And so I get it. I understand the hysteria. Ray was just telling me before we popped you on that Berkowitz now is apparently, you know, he's found the Lord, helps other inmates, doesn't ever like to be referred to as son of Sam. Is that true?
That's true. He actually has renamed himself. He's now called the son by himself. He calls himself the son of hope. Yes, he's found God. And, you know, that's how he will choose to live the rest of his life. He's in prison for 150 years, but he's certainly someone that caused a lot of damage. You know, one of the things that people ask about, you know, what do you learn or what do you see when you look at these media reports, is they talk to a lot of the families of the victims, and you just realize, you know, the pain and suffering that this one crazy guy put so many people through. Forget about the fear in New York, but if you were affected, you know, one guy was blinded because he was shot in the head, and his girlfriend was killed. And you watch this and you're reminded that, you know, evil does exist in the world. And thank God people like police do things like check parking tickets to stop it.
No kidding. The smallest details sometimes. Thanks, Tom. We appreciate it. We'll watch it.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Tom Jennings from the Smithsonian Channel here at WDLS.
Yeah, I try to remind my mother, who thinks the world's going crazy, and my daughter as well, that, you know, these things have been going on forever. It's just now we have so much access to it because when something happens, right there it is on that little computer that you're carrying in your hand all the time.
You live it in minutes.